This is CliffCentral.com.
So much has been happening in Zimbabwe, and the name is Gilmore T, and you're live here on cliffcentral.com, and I'm joined in studio by social commentator and photographer. His name is Mgcini Nyoni. If you follow him on Twitter, he has so much to say about things happening in Zimbabwe and around him as an individual. And also we have Busi Bebe. She's also a social commentator and a journalist. She's going to be joining in the conversation, and we're going to just talk about Zimbabwe post the 2018 harmonized elections. Gentlemen and lady, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Good afternoon. To be here.
How were the harmonized elections? Did you guys go vote?
Yes.
Yes, we voted.
Uh-huh. First thing I did before I even took a bath.
Okay.
I went to the straight to the queue, uh-huh. And I voted.
Okay.
It took me 5 minutes.
Yeah, it took me 30 minutes to vote.
Yeah, it took me about 40 minutes. Yeah.
40 minutes.
Yeah.
And how was the atmosphere in the places that you guys voted in?
We all believed in change when we were in that queue.
Yeah.
We all believed.
There was some vibe.
There was some vibe, but that change is coming.
Polling was a bit tense. It
really?
Was quiet. The polling agents were all seated in a queue, serious and quiet. I don't know whether because it was still morning and they were grumpy, but they were not smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And the polling station is just next to a police station.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know
so
whether
maybe.
There was that feeling of maybe being washed over, but people were not that smiley. But
great.
The actual people that gave the service, like that checked for my name, did my finger, they were very friendly, they were chatty, explaining that how I should fold the ballot paper, where I should put it in the box. They really took their time to an extent that I was afraid that if this is how long they take on me,
are we gonna
be able to finish voting as well.
So as I said, it's the same for you though.
I had a feeling looking at the ballot papers, I'm fairly educated, but looking at the ballot papers, I had a feeling those papers are not simple enough. I don't know.
Really?
I feel somehow for someone who is not sophisticated, I failed. That's why there was a high number of assistant voters.
Like,
oh, yeah,
for
yeah,
example,
yeah.
Where is the sophistication for you?
Because I'm thinking 23 presidential candidates.
That's a lot.
Right? And so that means you have to actually read. Because those pictures were not really...
Well, they were not clear.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that means you actually had to read.
You're right. All right, I get that.
I actually brought that up on Twitter.
Yeah.
My problem was maybe in the sophistication, as you put it. For me, it was the size of the picture. And yet
there was so much space.
That wasn't printed. And I was like, was it really necessary to put so many cramped pictures and so small, such a bad quality of picture and print? Bad resolution, almost black and white, not color.
Yeah.
And for some of us with bad eyes, they should have just told us, bring your spectacles.
Or at least light, because when I was voting, there was no light.
There was no light. That was terrible.
So I'm thinking if everyone had to actually read in search for their candidate, because as much as we say Zimbabwe is a highly literate country, I don't think it's that high. So
it was the worst, I think, for MDC Alliance and MDCT supporters.
Yes.
Because the logos are so similar.
Yes.
And if you can't
really tell
pictures, they can't read. You may have voted for the wrong person.
So also, talking about MDC Alliance and MDCT, do you think also they didn't think about the people or the voters when they split? For example, the votes were splitted in some areas. People were splitting because people didn't know whether they should vote for Alliance or for the T.
Bruce
is like, what?
I think we have only two constituencies where that vote splitting actually affected the result. But I don't think it's a really highly significant. But anyway, that is a form of rigging.
Yes.
Because there was a court ruling that said... both parties should use the same symbol.
Oh, okay.
Because rigging is multi-layered.
Oh, so you feel it was part of rigging. So you feel like elections were rigged already.
Rigging at government level, at exec level.
Government, and PFZ is one thing.
It's called ZPF.
ZPF.
Yeah,
ZPF. I think, yes, they didn't think about the people when they split. I think it was totally selfish reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had a point to prove that this is my thing. Chino Chedu, as they say,
yes.
And we are going to show them by going to the ballot with that logo, and we'll see who the people are going to choose.
But then it brings confusion amongst the people. Now when you're getting them, then first of all, it's not clear. Secondly, there's no light.
But they're not so confused as to alter the results, because it was so emphatic, especially this side of the country. I don't know about the other side. Where I hear MDCT had significant votes.
Oh, is it?
But I don't think it was because of the leader of the MDCT. Mm-hmm. I think it was because of the candidates that they had fielded in those
areas. Okay.
Whereas in Bulawayo, I think, I don't know, I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't vote for candidates. I think people voted for
individuals.
Yes. In Bulawayo, that's how it seems to be. People just
They didn't vote for individuals. They voted for parties. Okay.
In Bulawayo, in some parts of my telling, people just want the MTC. Mm. Anything else that is not MTC,
they don't want.
They do not want. Because, to be honest with you, I know people that have capacity.
Yes.
That were not in any of those parties.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That were not voted for. Maybe because they didn't sell themselves well enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But...
Or maybe, do you think that Zimbabweans still subscribe to parties? Because independent candidates, they didn't do well
at all. I also subscribe to parties.
Okay.
Because policies can be implemented at party level.
All right.
As an independent, no matter how brilliant you are, what are you going to do in parliament?
Mm.
Go against 210 people? Honestly, right, because policies are, a party implements, that's why they sell a manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
So they need numbers to push that manifesto.
As for me, I believe in individual candidates, but for the parliamentary, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I even voted for a party.
Okay.
But the good thing for me is because the person in the party is a hard worker. I've seen her work even at grassroots level, even at the community level. So for me, and she's a woman. Mm-hmm. So for me, she just ticked all the boxes.
Okay,
and then I voted for her. But for the president, I was willing to go for the individual because I was telling myself, at least he can choose a cabinet.
Oh yeah, it's a completely different
cabinet. Yes, that would support his thing. At council level, still, usually they're just different. They'll be probably guided by the bylaws and government policy. But at parliamentary level, that's where maybe there's the issue.
Yeah, because we had individuals such as Fazia Mahere and Nkunkala and Nigel Ndlovu, Pastor Evans Mawarire, that were really like campaigning. They seem to be doing well on social media.
I can single out Fazia Mahere.
Okay.
I actually thought she was going to win because she's an advocate.
Yes.
Parliament is law.
Mm-hmm.
So an advocate could have educated the MPs who go there and they don't know much about law.
Yes.
So at least the legal debates there would have been richer with advocate Mahere there.
But she didn't make it.
But she didn't make it, unfortunately. But with the other independents, I didn't even try to pretend that I support them.
I think for me, I felt, for example, according to the race, quite late.
Nkunkala.
Yes.
Was it like a last minute decision?
Yes, for an independent. Mm-hmm. You just needed to start way early and to have the resources to put out that. I think Fatai Mahere did quite well, and I'm also convinced she was going to win. You know, she was one of those shockers.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Ivan, I feel, disappointed a lot of people the last time around he, you know, changed his stance on many things.
Yes.
So people, I feel, felt like they couldn't put him as a gamble, and so why run as a
exactly.
So, yeah, there were those questions I feel people...
But on social media, a lot of people were throwing things such as Fazai was campaigning more on social media and she didn't do enough work. So do you feel maybe most of the independent candidates were more on social media and they were less on like physical activism?
No, but on Fazai, they are wrong.
You know, Fazai, yes, I've seen Fazai do a lot of things.
She was on the ground, yeah.
She was. But with others also, you know, we tend to take Twitter and social and Facebook so seriously in Zimbabwe. Yet we forget that half of the people, 75% of the people that are actually tweeting and retweeting you, they are Zimbabweans based in other countries.
Yeah.
So also, that's a disadvantage.
There are some candidates that were not on the ground, not on social media, but still won.
Oh, is
because of party.
Because of
party,
maybe.
Exactly. It's not necessarily about where exactly were you campaigning, but maybe... Do you have what the people wanted? Mm-hmm. And maybe if actually that Fatai was
not
the one that they wanted.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe a policy was sophisticated,
and maybe
they were not related.
This time around.
Maybe.
It's like Nkosana Moyo. Of course, he wasn't on the ground.
I saw
the rallies. But you know, you know,
was a waste of time.
You know how people were like, you know, he's the best candidate in terms of how he puts out his policies, the way he thinks. the way he's connected.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this is not his time.
Mm.
Why? When is the time?
I guess it shouldn't even come in 2023 because he's going to be quite old and we are tired of 65s
going
upwards.
What is old is presidential?
I think we need to have an age limit in Zimbabwe.
Maybe after that. Not yet.
We need to.
I dismissed Nkosana because I feel if you cannot build a team,
mm-hmm.
you cannot run a country.
Mm.
You could not build a campaign team.
Mm.
I think he did build the team. You just didn't know the team. I saw you.
So then that's a problem.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
It was on Facebook. It was not physically
running
visible.
A country is about delegation of duty. It's about appointing the right people to the right positions.
Mm.
So you could not run an effective campaign. So how can you run a country? Because running a country, running a bank.
But the thing with people, guys, one thing I know is that you can be the best campaign person and
uh-huh.
be the worst deliverer.
Mm.
So it's a good thing. ZANU-PF has run good campaigns. 2013, they swept to victory. But what have they delivered?
Nothing.
Who have they delegated to?
Mm.
Who have they asked to lead? We're still in the same mess. The same party is probably going to win again. We're going to cry the same 48 cry that we've been having, but they've been good mobilizers, good campaigns, good.
Maybe the implementation is what's lacking with them.
Exactly.
And many
so
parties.
It's like you can't keep making the same mistake and expecting a different.
But also, with ZANU-PF, I think it's about also overstaying. Do you know if you have been a manager at a place for such a long time, you don't notice the paint that is peeling off the walls?
Yeah.
Okay.
It becomes so common to you.
Yes. Okay, miners, Bukura Wundi, in the first 10 years of ZANU-PF. They really tried.
Possibly.
Try is a good word. It's a safe word for you because I'm going to say they tried in areas, in specific areas.
Yeah, in specific
like
areas.
Like education.
Yes, yeah.
But everything else, guys, what development was there that Smith didn't leave? The hospitals, the roads, the bridges.
We still live that way.
But
we left our policy.
If you left Zimbabwe in 1985, or left Bulawayo in 1985 and you come back, you won't get lost because the streets
it's
are
the same thing.
But if Mugabe had handed over in 1990, someone else would have utilized the educational base he had created.
Mm-hmm.
10 years later, will it take 10 years later for someone to come and
no,
bring it
from 1980 to 1990,
mm-hmm.
if Mugabe had left at 1990.
But the only thing he changed is education. That's my argument.
That's what I'm saying. Someone would have
used that base. Teacher. And have one expertise and change
yeah,
like
yeah.
only
well, because he was
food.
A teacher.
Yes, why didn't he delegate to other good areas for health, for infrastructure and all that?
So when you mentioned this teacher thing with Robert Mugabe, do you feel that with Chiyengwa, who's a vice president, because he's a former military person, we're going to have such a strong military country, per se?
No. He's a military person.
I'm afraid to comment.
He's a military person, that's why... People were shot yesterday.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's not
easy for him to give a command.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need military expertise.
Mm-hmm.
What do we use it for?
Like, why in Zimbabwe?
We're not at war.
Yeah, we're not.
We're not like a little bit war. Yeah.
But if you get someone who knows how to fix an economy,
mm-hmm.
then you know at least you will get the economy back on track.
But who can fix the economy currently in Zimbabwe, looking at the people that are vying to be leaders in Zimbabwe?
The candidates are actually going to say...
Nkosana. But Nkosana, Nkosana, over here.
The way we choose our leaders is not rational.
Okay.
We choose out of inhliziyo ukuthi I want to win. I can't stand a loss. But then you don't think about the vision. Even in 1980, that's how Mugabe came into power.
But look at the team.
We were euphoric. For me, I don't care about the campaign team. I care about the people who are going to put into cabinet.
We don't know whether he was going to put good people in cabinet.
That's what he said. He said he was going to get people's CVs and look at what they are.
But how visible was
he? That's what
was his campaign.
He was terrible.
Also.
He
That's
was terrible.
Thing.
That my point is, I go back to my example. Our leaders for the past 40 years have been very good at campaigning, very
uh-huh.
good at being on the ground during elections, very good at saying we're going to choose this one, this
yeah.
one, and when it comes to delivery, they have delivered.
That's why we removed them and they stole the vote. That's why we removed them and they stole the vote. But look at Nelson Chamisa, the team around Nelson Chamisa, David Coulter, Tendai Biti. He has got Chamisa. People might say Chamisa is
yes,
a mature and all that, but
yeah.
he's surrounded by
good
very
people.
Solid
yeah.
people around
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
So I voted for Chamisa because I believed.
in the team around him.
Yes, Walshman. Because I thought he was naive. I think he's very naive. Also.
But the team.
Why? But he's got a good team. Listen, the first thing that an average Zimbabwean want to hear is, what are you going to fix immediately, soon after you get to be in the president's office? Zimbabwe's our health sector is terrible. Mm. Our education is going bad. Our roads, infrastructure, all these things are things that we see. It's there, it's right in front of you. But then he's our ZDC. But then he comes and he starts talking about spaghetti roads. You can only understand of those things when you have been maybe to some of these places. But that's not like the most important thing that you need to start thinking.
I liked it because I believe we should start dreaming again. Yes, I don't know whether I can use again, because I don't think we've ever dreamed.
Definitely when we came to Zimbabwe Tarantisha.
Yeah. So I was at the former Ascot race course.
Yeah.
Derelict. I've been to Unguza, I've been to Sailing Club, I've been to all these places. Mm-hmm.
Which council is running those areas for the past how many years?
There are some projects that are central government projects, because government took.
Like which ones? Name one, because all you've mentioned are city council projects.
No, they're not, because government took away revenue collection from city councils, like Zinwa, Zinara. Oh, it's now being collected.
Those are not like the biggest projects that the council. Okay, let's say that is true. You tell me that couldn't encourage them to rehabilitate Ascot, rehabilitate Umkuza, rehabilitate the beer halls that they are failing to run and ended up privatizing, because those were the cash cows or Ingwe. Are they failing to do that seriously?
Possibly.
But honestly, but here we're actually discussing a government that has failed, that has proven that it has failed, which is ZANU-PF.
No, but now we're talking about the council now, which is a party that you feel...
But without implementing devolution, without implementing devolution fully, you can't now treat areas in isolation.
No, then you need to convince me that support Umkuza, the Ingwe breweries, government has a hand in controlling council on how they run those areas. Because for me, honestly, even the youth clubs, the way they are run,
the youth clubs, those are by the local authority, which is the council, right?
Yes, the swimming pools. You tell me the council cannot make money from those things, keeping them rehabilitated and well maintained.
Do they have the money to rehabilitate the places?
They can get a loan. Get a loan and fix those places, then get a loan and buy cars.
But they have to get it from the government.
From central.
But they can get... they've been getting loans for cars.
Mm.
And they are paying money for that generator that they instead of paying off as a satellite. My question is, if they can get money for those things, why can't they get money for things that will, in the long term, bring back
And benefit income? The community.
I don't understand this short-term thinking.
Okay, granted, we have that discussion in 2023.
Okay. You see?
Yes, because right now we are saying we voted a particular way.
Uh-huh.
And Zach is announcing results in a particular way.
Because
how can we have a government that is in power,
mm-hmm.
saying we are in power, all the cities have rejected you, all the towns have rejected you. Then you saw,
but the rural areas. Then you say,
no, our supporters are in the rural areas. But the economy is driven from where? Because we are the ones who do our grocery clubs throughout the year, so that we send groceries back home.
So maybe you should stop. Maybe you should stop sending things to our rural areas.
Can I ask you something? I don't have the statistics, but I can bet you that there are not so many rural areas or people based in the rural areas that still get groceries from people in the urban areas. That is not true. Many of those people get their food from NGOs, from maybe, I don't know,
not most, in Cholocho, it's not NGOs, it's South Africa.
Mm.
Their sons and fathers are based in South Africa.
In Gwanda, it's the same.
In Gwanda, it's the same thing.
Plantry.
Exactly. Yeah, so what about the Uzumbas?
But Uzumba, where do they get 21,000 people from? Like, who still stays in the rural areas?
There are many people.
But not that high.
Ish.
I don't know. I don't have the statistics.
Because the density of homesteads in rural areas is not as in so
it's very spaced out.
We have the statistics on the population in those areas.
Uh-huh.
I do think there is something fishy with the figures. Yes, as well.
There is.
But something. I'm convinced that ZANU-PF does have some support in those areas, because I think over the years, MDC has found it hard to penetrate those areas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And from what I hear, they didn't have polling agents in all those areas.
Okay.
So it's possible that there may have been
some manipulation. Yeah.
But also the fact that they didn't have time to penetrate those areas and convince them.
Mm.
Those people probably still think, you know, ZANU-PF is
busy. The only party.
Exactly.
Because Nelson Chamisa had only 4 months to campaign. So,
it could have been difficult. I'm not saying that they wouldn't want Chamisa. I'm saying they might not understand.
Yes, if Chamisa is campaigning for 2 years or something.
Yeah, so they'll still vote the way they usually voted. Until someone tells them, no, there's a
No, the thing is,
when they are children, why are we not telling them, the ones who stay in the urban areas, what's going on? Don't they know that when we can't send them groceries, we can't send them money, they think we don't want to send the money.
They think we don't want.
They think we don't want.
The people are enjoying it.
Yeah, they think we don't
so
want.
So we've forgotten about them.
Yeah, but they don't know that we make maybe $3. Mm. Then we go and buy share, we'll say $2.
You're now going to my point that if I can't afford to feed my own family, how often is it that I'll send to the rural
areas?
Yeah, I'll tell you that I have cousins and family in the rural areas.
Mm.
But I don't remember the last time I sent them anything because I can't afford to.
So how do they survive then?
NGOs and those rights
and the diaspora.
But the diaspora gives to people in the city.
And then the people in the city use the money because it costs the right.
The trickle-down effect is not so effective because by the time the money sent from the UK gets to the person in the rural areas, it's insignificant.
Mm.
But those people, all they see are tracks from government coming to give them rice every month.
Yeah.
You know that? For years, government has been registering 60 plus people, 60 years and above of age people to get food every month. They get 50 kg grain, they get sugar beans, they get cooking oil. I don't know what else they get, but every month they've been getting that for the past, I don't know how many years.
Hence the vote.
So tell me, if we go there and they tell you, especially with the biometric voter registration, guys, you need to register again. If you don't register, you won't vote. And if you don't vote properly, you won't get these things.
Mm.
And then you don't have a political party that's trying to change things, going to tell them, biometric voter registration is for everyone. No one will take your details.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean this food will stop. Because even if we get into government, we'll even have better and more of this food.
Yeah, not just beans and minimum.
So the intimidation continued. They'll tell you that, no, if you don't give us your ID number, you don't give us your details, you won't get this food.
So
and make sure you vote
for us. And a lot of people are not confronted by the harshness of the economy on a daily basis. Because us in the city, we have to go to the grocery store every day on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So you'll be thinking, okay, what's up for tomorrow? No, not even what's up for supper?
For now.
But I think people in the rural area, they can go for a week or even 2 weeks without actually going to the shop. So they're not confronted by
the harshness
of the economy on a daily basis.
I mean, if you have your 50 bag grain and all you're doing is to go and do a kupa kuna pana and you know month end you'll get another bag.
I
don't get money from the city.
I can still eat and survive.
Yes, my NGO, my government will give me food and I'll grow my tomatoes in the garden.
Wow. I have a question. Why did you vote if you voted?
I had hope that I could change things.
Okay.
I actually believe that we could get someone that could turn things around. Mm-hmm. I was discouraged in 2013. I thought I would never vote.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm encouraged by some of the leaders that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that we have sort of like new actors and lots of independent young people and women running for me, it gave me a bit of hope. I don't know if I'll still have it by the time they finish
out. I believed.
Oh, you don't believe anymore?
I don't believe anymore.
Okay.
I believed we're going to change things.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Chamisa won the president.
Okay.
Because I don't believe a child can be number one. You have a report that says number one and hide the report card.
Uh-huh.
If Emmerson Mnangagwa had won, the day after elections,
right,
an inauguration program would have...
Is that why you keep tweeting saying that?
Yes, an inauguration program would have been printed the day after
the election.
The election was by midnight on the day of elections. All of them knew the results. Then they were strategic in the way they were releasing results. Mm. They usually announced the cities first. Mm-hmm. But this time,
the cities were the last ones.
They announced the rural areas first because they were conditioning us.
For the bad news.
For a rigged presidential.
Okay.
Because they knew, yes, ZANU-PF got more MPs. Because what people were doing, people were voting for ZANU-PF MP and Chamisa president.
Mm-hmm. You can't say it's a rigged.
No, it's a rigged. It's a rigged because in the morning after the elections, all the V11 forms confirmed that Chamisa had won.
But then the information that's coming out now, but we still haven't received much information about the president.
About the president.
Yes, why? Because I don't believe a power-hungry junta can hide the fact that they...
They screamed on top of the wall.
Yeah, they would have screamed. They would have, at 6 a.m., they would have called for a press conference.
On ZPC TV.
Yeah, guys, we have... So I don't believe there's no way.
Boos is like, don't understand.
There's no way they would have hidden that.
I'm cautious in the way I respond to this because... I really would like to see the evidence. I'm one of those people that will not want to believe something until I see it. I believe it's very possible.
It's very possible.
They've done it before.
Yeah.
So why not do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to speak about it when it has happened.
It has happened.
But something smells fishy.
So something's very fishy.
And
fishy.
The many constituencies where they first announced winners and then came back and said, oh, we made a mistake.
Oh, yeah, like yesterday they did that.
So, yeah, for me... Yes.
How many mistakes have you made if you can't even actually be just do the right thing with these small things?
Exactly.
How many other mistakes
and
can
why
you
get
make?
Extreme with the civilians if you have nothing?
Well, someone who has won would not put soldiers on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You've won, what are you scared of?
Mm-hmm.
You can prove your innocence.
Yeah, you can prove your innocence. You can say, guys, we've won. Here's the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the forms.
Mm-hmm.
So, so really something about the presidency really is really, really, really fishy. And also, yes, ZANU-PF has got more MPs, but not as many as been announced. That I believe.
Oh, that's a lot of them.
So
if everything is just rigged at the moment.
Yeah, everything is rigged for me, I believe. Yes, I believe they've got more MPs, but not as many as...
What has been announced.
And also the numbers, I think, they're too high.
Oh, no, I saw an article, I saw like a screenshot on social media where there was MDC Alliance had 600 votes, and then ZANU-PF had 100 and something, and then the total people registered was one. Actually, the total registered was 600, and then MDC had 300, other parties had 1, 2s, whatever, and 100, and ZANU-PF had 100. But then ZANU-PF won by 1,000. So I was like, what's going on? That was somewhere in Mashonaland.
In Zimbabwe, you call that miracle voter.
Where do they come from?
They come from miracles.
Yeah. There are a lot of, like, the EU. I love what because Sajak, those guys are an embarrassment. Sajak and EU, they said free and fair. But I loved what the EU guys said.
Yeah.
What did they say?
They said the elections were not free.
Yes.
They're not fair.
Mm-hmm.
There was not enough coverage. There was polarization in the media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what else the naked.
Yeah. That's the gist of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
You was really saying the election.
They departed from the usual mantra.
Yeah.
You know, which is like a template. You almost always know what that
explanation is. But I think why the EU had to say that is because the British, they blundered.
Mm-hmm.
The British believed that since Mnangagwa and Chiwenga have removed ZANU-PF.
Yes, they
endorsed them too early.
Yeah.
Because they believed the elections were going to be a formality.
Yeah.
Then things changed.
Yeah.
The dynamics changed because... if elections had happened a month after the coup, Mnangagwa would have won.
He would have won immediately.
With a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
So the British based their narrative on that.
Mm-hmm.
But as the months progressed, Mnangagwa failed to deliver on the basic of things.
True.
And he lost popularity. So now, I think the EU was now cautious. The British blundered. You cannot also now...
Oh yeah, like...
They seem to be blundered. Let's try and be...
But do you feel like international observers did their job?
I was
job
about
at all?
To say, let's talk about those international observers.
International observers,
they
and they died.
I like the
all.
Way the EU came here almost a month early from elections.
Yeah.
I've seen them on the ground. Yes. I've seen them at meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've been doing the work. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the other of them. I haven't seen them much. Yes. They're even caught on camera.
Yeah, they're drinking while they're
having fun. And people are asking, did you want them to go out there and get them? I'm like, no. Even stand by a corner, take pictures, but have the evidence that this is the aftermath of the election. Because you don't observe just up till the casting of votes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to observe until when
all everything the irregularities
and complaints have been dealt with.
And you can't say free and fair before all the results have been announced.
Exactly.
You only give your report after all the results have been announced.
But then most of these people left the locations that they were working from, like from Cholocho or Gwanda. Yeah, most of them left this following day after election. So for me, I was wondering, what were they observing? Because you can't go on the day of the election and then you leave. There's like,
and then
there's
write like a report from,
you know what
from,
I'm saying?
Without the election results,
no, because you're supposed to stay and observe. You observe before, you observe during, and you observe after.
Can I ask something? I know I'm not the one I'm supposed to be asking the question.
Yeah, no, but you can answer.
Could we maybe base the violence or the demonstrations on these declarations of free and fair elections? Because these people are now starting to see that. You know, how can you say they are free and fair?
Mm-hmm.
When Chamisa was already complaining before we even cast the vote that Zeki is impartial,
mm-hmm.
we need electoral reforms.
So they should have fixed that before?
Yes, they should have fixed that. And before releasing the free and fair statements, they should have waited for all the results to be out by Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, start giving a statement.
Yeah, they should have done that. Yeah.
They should have.
That's,
yeah.
that's what
for me, the EU, for me, was not a problem because already they were saying there were irregularities. By the time we got to the vote, the campaigners were not given equal space. So it is an irregularity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can't say it's free and fair before you reach to the end of the process.
No,
it doesn't make sense.
And 21% of the V11 forms disappeared.
They're nowhere to be found.
They're nowhere to be found. And one police officer could even say, no, Jaga Peace, they were banned.
Wow. Oh yeah, because someone in Victoria Falls, Ward 3 in Victoria Falls, there's an article that came out yesterday saying that the Ward 3 results are missing. When you go to the tent, they are missing.
Are you not supposed to keep some of these things as evidence for if there are disputes?
Even a year later, these
things you're supposed to keep them.
Because now some agents were now being called back to sign new forms.
With new numbers. I think for
me, so
if international observers don't pick this, then we might as well just say we've lost.
Yeah.
Was it really? It's not
really. Voices won't count.
But do they have an interest for Zimbabwe? That's another question that I have. Like, do you actually think SADC, EU and all these people have interest for Zimbabwe? Or are they just being there for formalities, but for an average Zimbabwean, they don't care?
No, they don't really care about the average Zimbabwean.
So then why waste their resources coming down to Zimbabwe when they're not going to be involved anyway and they don't care at all?
It's employment creation for them. They get allowances, they get
Wow. And they get to stay in nice hotels in Zimbabwe.
It's for them, it's money. It's time to, you know, to relax, to enjoy with their team members.
Mm.
You know, they've done the work, they've written the report, they've delivered, they've ticked the boxes.
Wow.
But they forget that they leave behind families and people whose lives will be affected forever. That was the issue we had with SADC in 2008, in 2013, with Thabo Mbeki, you know?
Yeah.
All those decisions
such
that
a
they
waste of
made,
time.
It's as if they don't think about the end result and the consequences.
Maybe they don't care, actually. Maybe that's what we just need to know.
But thinking of SADC, maybe they wanted to fix us. Because SADC...
Fix us how?
SADC wanted to
in
come
November.
In. SADC wanted to come in.
In November. And then we said, stay away.
And Zimbabwe said, stay away.
We have been all this time.
But guys, honestly, for me, it's like SADC always wants to protect whoever is in power.
That's the thing.
Country.
Because it's a group of presidents.
Exactly.
It's SADC.
So now that AD has secured his place, he's now one of the guys.
Yes.
Now
so they can't spit him out.
Yes. Before that, they wanted to protect their friend Mugabe.
Yes.
Now that Mugabe is out, they want to protect. If Chamisa comes in, they want to protect.
They want to protect.
Exactly.
So they protect their own.
It's a boozers club.
Wow.
And they booze.
And I've noticed SABC, the way SABC is reporting, is very biased.
Is it biased towards the
towards
or NDC or the other?
Because
I thought it was a bit, they were more.
No, of course, they're not as blunt.
Than ETV, which seems to say that, you know, the demonstrators caused the deaths.
Oh, that's what ETV is saying?
Yes.
Maybe for that particular one. But since the election started, SABC, even
has
people
been
they have been interviewing.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
Because I noticed they were interviewing more of MDCT people. than Alliance people.
Okay.
And they also, because the likes of Nicky Mangwana were getting a lot of time on SABC.
And ZANU-PF, was it getting a lot of time also?
Yes. On SABC.
Oh, wow.
Yes. But they'll try and make it neutral by interviewing people who are not really obviously ZANU-PF.
Well, yeah, like, we're also confused with them.
but you hear how the person speaks.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know what? We can complain about SABC compared with TVG. What about our own SABC?
It wasn't covering. They were playing Indian movies.
Oh my gosh, I cringed even. I even wrote it on Twitter. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Are you normal? Why is this playing Sumuga music? Well, why have to watch the news on...
You know what? If I was a marketer at ZBC, I would actually be covering the elections because it means everyone else has to tune into your station.
Yeah.
They want to get information from Zimbabwe by Zimbabweans, but they failed to do that. They failed to understand that they're the most pivotal channel in Zimbabwe to report about Zimbabwe. And they'll be playing Sungura music, they're playing movies, and during elections.
During elections, I'm thinking,
who thinks like that?
We should be seeing how populated the polling stations are.
Yes.
You see, we should be seeing, are people going out to vote? Is it more women? Is it more young people? You know, is it safe?
Yeah.
Is it peaceful from ZBC?
Even if it's biased. But show us something.
Let us tune in. But in November, they did a good job. They tried to cover a lot of things for Zimbabwe. So do you feel Zimbabweans actually got the courage to stand up, like what happened, the demonstrations that are happening, which we'll talk about? They got the courage from the November 2017.
Yeah, last night, Gwero was protesting.
Gwero of all places.
Gwero never protests.
And was it like all Gwero?
No,
the party structures on Gwero.
Yeah, but still...
We've never heard of Gwero protesting in Zimbabwe. It's like hearing of Kwekwe protesting.
It's the progressive town. Yeah.
Wow. But then you feel like maybe November 2017 did something to Zimbabwe.
Yes.
It did. I was talking to a lady, a doctor of mine, and she was saying, you know what, in November, something was released in us that you cannot...
Take back. Yeah.
It's like the genie was put out of bottle and you can't put it back.
Genie in the
bottle. And as much as we may be afraid, and as much as you know, these bad things are happening, but we feel like we found our voice.
Yeah, we found our voice.
Even if you try and stifle the voice, we'll be screaming behind that gag, you know. So yes, something happened on November 17th. I don't know whether it's something to thank these guys for, considering that they gave it to us thinking they'll take it back. But we thank God that they did bring it, because now people are starting to see that they can go out into the street and say something.
When they took it back yesterday.
They took it back?
They are trying to take it back. My question is, how do we utilize that freedom in a way that will keep us all safe? Because we cannot be reckless with it.
No, we can't be reckless.
Yes. Of course, I don't like the statements by some media that were saying there's too much freedom, excessive freedom. Yeah. There's nothing like excessive
freedom. Freedom is never excessive.
Exactly. We should have the freedom, but we should be responsible. So for me, for example, there's an army person that's being circulated as a killer of some of the...
Which is wrong.
...victims yesterday. And they have the wife's face there, the child's face there. Mm. To me, it's freedom, yes, but whose privacy and security are you putting at risk there?
Because we don't know for sure that it's a guy.
Someone who's starting a rumor against a person they're angry with, or they have a grudge against. So that kind of freedom, we have to be responsible and use it for the betterment of the whole society, not just for selfish reasons.
But in November 2017, we had the army being the favorite for the Zimbabweans, because they came through and were taking selfies with them. But soon after Emmerson Mnangagwa went into power on his inauguration, he spoke about everything else, like in his speech, he spoke about the economy, he spoke about other things, but then he failed to touch on human rights. There's no part that, when you actually read and listen, there's no part that he touched on human rights. A few months later, with the same people, the army, now shooting people. So do you feel like the president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, literally human rights is not something that he thinks is important in Zimbabwe?
He doesn't believe in human rights.
I think many leaders don't believe. They speak human rights, but when it comes to the crux of it, they don't exercise.
But he didn't even speak about it. Rather speak about it and don't practice.
But even if they don't believe it, but to what extent are they willing to go? Because other leaders in the world, that we say that they are willing to lose power. Like that lady in the UK. when she took over.
Yeah.
Theresa May. She said, I want to run my own elections because I want to gain my own mandate. She was prepared to lose her position.
But you're talking about a Western country that you can't compare. Let's look at South Africa.
Can you imagine Ramaphosa deploying the army to defend his presidency? I don't think so.
I think
it depends on the society that you live in. South Africans have, they have this strong, what can I say? I don't know what word I'm looking for. But
you can say it's in Ndebele. I'm sure not to.
Don't you have a Ndebele word for it? But Ngani, they have this power over their government.
Okay.
They have a voice that their government cannot ignore.
Because when they are the government themselves.
When they go out into the streets, even if they do things that I disagree with, I know that when they say something, even on Twitter, when they make noise on Twitter, things happen. I've started to see a little bit of that in Zimbabwe, but not as much as I see it in South Africa.
Not to a great extent.
So for me, why I'm saying Ramaphosa would never do it is because he knows my people. They'll go out, the women, they will undress for me in the
streets. So he's got respect for people.
So we should sustain.
So is it respect or fear?
No, but rather you fear your people then.
Exactly. So I think our leaders should fear respectfully their people. Yeah. But they, in Zimbabwe, that's never happened.
I think we should sustain our protests. Because people were protesting in Harare. Soldiers came in.
Yes.
That was the end of it. But I think our protests should be sustained. Because I don't think the soldiers would have continued shooting throughout the night.
Okay, so what could the people have done?
Sustain. Sustain, of course, but I think it's too much to ask when people are dying.
Because we're not used to having people.
I mean, South Africans are used to seeing dead bodies.
But we are not.
That's why they can sustain.
Do you ever get used to seeing dead bodies?
I think South Africans
understand their rights. I think South Africans understand their rights. Mm-hmm. They understand what their leaders are there to do for them, that their leaders are there to serve them, not the other way around. As Zimbabweans, we've been told that our leaders, they are chefs. They can tell you there's a rally at 2 p.m. and arrive
then you
at 6.
Up and, you
arrive at 9 and you are sitting there and hungry, but you're not supposed to say anything. Yeah. In South Africa, you would not do that. Like I'm saying, I don't know if it's the fear that they will burn you down or they will beat you up, but I think to some extent that fear is necessary.
We need to bring it down to Zimbabwe. Is that what you're saying?
And notch down.
Notch down a little bit. Because we don't want to be seeing people dying everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, talking about what happened in Harare, you know, the army shooting people, because four lives were lost, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel, I mean, now there's news that the vice president is saying that the people that were in charge or the people that are responsible for the dead is the opposition party. But who gives the command to the army to actually, who's the commander, the army commander?
People were exercising their right to protest because this so-called new government, they've been listing one of their achievements as opening up democratic space.
Yes.
People were exercising their democratic space to protest. Even if their car was burned, they are the cause to deal with whoever burned the car.
Yeah, true.
So are we saying if you burn a car, you get executed?
Possibly. And you get executed when you're running away from the army because how would you get shot on your back?
And it's not even the people who were protesting who were shot. People were going about their business who were shot. So, really, this government is proving to be worse than the Mugabe government.
Wow.
Because there were riots during Mugabe's time. Mm-hmm. We never saw the army being deployed.
So they jumped from the police straight to the army.
Yeah, we never saw
that. You know, for me, during Mugabe's time, the police were the most brutal.
They'll beat you up.
The riots gave it the name, Morobai.
Yes.
Because they would beat you up, but the army would always stay hidden.
Yeah.
Yes.
They had this, you know, it's like they had this border that they would never cross.
Yes,
you only see them when they're coming to get paid and they go back. You know, to some extent, it got me thinking, was there a reason that Mugabe kept the army away? Was it playing constitutional? Or he really understood the boundaries?
Yeah. Possibly he understood.
Because the army is trained to kill.
Yes. They don't
unleash the army. Because once they are now in their moment,
That's it. That's what they're trying to do.
These guys did it in November. Was that the starting point of the problem such that they can't undo it? Because when we look at November going forward, the incidents of soldiers beating up people, shooting people, being rowdy, became so increased over the months.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, when what happened yesterday, you know, it just makes you think, oh my gosh, did we unleash a monster?
Possibly we unleashed a monster.
Thinking we were getting rid of another
one. But we unleashed an even bigger monster. Because you don't take the soldiers out of the barracks.
No, you don't.
That's where they belong.
Yeah.
When you take them out of the barracks, you throw them into the bush.
So we had a problem already in November when we released the soldiers from the barracks.
Did we make a bigger problem when we took one of them from the barracks and gave him a position?
I think we did. We did.
Because now he thinks government is like...
It's like an army.
It's an army.
Yeah. Because my question is like, so are we now an army-run government?
Yes, we're a military...
We're a military-run country.
We're a military state.
Wow.
We're a military state.
We used to be a police state.
Now we're a military. Isn't that worse?
We've graduated.
Isn't that worse?
It's worse. It's worse.
It's almost like Congo, right?
Because police officers, it was even with
people. We'll see, time will tell.
Even with police officers, it only ended at riot police.
Yes, it never went.
It never proceeded beyond. Because there are other layers of police beyond riot police.
Yes. Yeah, so we should have gone through all those before we even unleashed the soldiers themselves.
Yeah.
Because like even when you look, because the police understand that when someone is attacking and when they lie down or they kneel, it means they are just surrendering.
Yes.
But with these soldiers, no matter how much you lie down, they keep
sitting
up. So they don't understand.
The first thing the police does is to line up their shields.
Yes.
That's the first line of defense. Yeah. They don't just attack first. Mm-hmm. They know you do the shield thing first.
Yeah.
Then you want the crowd to disperse.
Then you do the water cannon.
Yes.
Then you do the shooting in the air. You do the bullets, the rubber bullets.
Yeah. Not the bullets.
But the soldiers came in with live rounds with no warning, no what.
I even saw one on a video that was very funny. He actually knelt down and was holding. And then this other soldier
came and said, beat him.
What are you doing?
I'm like, don't do that.
This guy was in a frenzy. He was just enjoying.
I'm sure they were enjoying that.
Yeah, he was just enjoying.
You know, they never go anywhere. They never practice those girls. Never
use. So it was an opportunity.
So if you unleash them now,
I think they go crazy. They should get opportunities to
just go and shoot at something.
Yeah,
they should go to DRC, Congo, possibly.
It doesn't have to be a war. They can go hunting or something.
Yeah, they can make them like game rangers or something to deal with. And deal with poachers
Deal with poachers. Yeah.
And we do have like about 2 minutes to go before we finish the program. Incredible. Like you guys are thinking it's little, right?
So my last word is
not last word. We're still talking. We're still talking. I want to find out about what do you think of. So what then? These families that have lost their loved ones, these four people that have passed on, maybe there's more people, some people are hurt. How should they be compensated at all if there's anything like that?
The president,
I mean, you can't bring back someone from
the president. Well, he's not really the president since the results have not been announced. The former president said it's the opposition's fault. So that means there's no chance of those people getting a government assistance.
But how is it the opposition fault? Because the opposition was not the one that was shooting people. It was the army that is under the president.
He's
a commander.
He deployed the
army to go on the streets.
For me, the first thing that leaders from both sides should do is console these families. I haven't heard any of them talk about the families, talk about how grieved they are and how sorry they are at what is happening.
Mm.
Secondly, I think it's hard for us to prescribe to the families how they can be compensated because they know the value of these family members to them. But for me, any life lost is such a pain that you cannot put a price to it.
Yeah, I know you can.
But I think the government needs to investigate the extent of involvement of any of these diseases because they claim that they're part of the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
But the family members can prove, honestly, that my family member is not a member, was just at work, was working.
They were just walking on the streets.
And then the government has to compensate because the army cannot at all justify being in the streets and shooting live bullets.
Even if these people were protesting.
Yes, whatever we do.
Even if they're
protesting, they're not supposed to be shot.
Yeah.
So for me, these are issues that if government cannot themselves take responsibility, these families should go to court if they can afford it, or even get lawyers that are...
No, they can get like the free lawyers.
Exactly, because there's an organization and get compensation. That yes. Yeah. And for me, that would set a precedence on future tragedies like this.
But isn't that already reckless when you're looking at it? Like, it's such a reckless action that was taken by the commander of the army to say that to deploy the army into the streets of Harare.
And imagine,
it's more than reckless.
Imagine if they did that when international observers are there.
What if they're not there?
What will happen when we are now left on our own?
There are even international media that are injured.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Some have been beat. And I saw pictures.
Yes, some of the shots were being shot right in sight of them. Yeah. In their way. So honestly, if they are that brave, and they are not even being taught the basics of, if you see someone wearing a media jacket,
don't
shoot if they are doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, what else will they do if they come to the civilian streets?
So does it mean then the army themselves, they are not well informed?
Just like the police were not informed. Remember how we used to say our police, they don't know the laws that they're enforcing.
Mm.
The army is even worse. It's because we're getting people, school leavers from the streets, we're making them run 50 kilometers. Mm. If they are able to run, then they are good to go.
Mm.
Do they go and sit in class and are taught the laws, are taught how far they can go with their knowledge, you know, things like that? I doubt it.
No.
But then what's the way forward? Because we can't keep having all these people and then they're the ones that are controlling us on the streets and they have no idea of what they are controlling.
It's a system, Gilmore. We need to change the system.
We're just little people. What can we do?
There's nothing we can do until we get someone who's in power right at the top who's saying, okay, guys, I don't want this anymore. I'm going to change right from the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to rehabilitate everyone else that is in the army. We're no longer doing things the old way. This is how we're doing it. They bring experts or they create a team, just like they did with Kukura Hundi, where they brought in a whole team from North Korea. Why not bring a whole team from somewhere where these days an acceptance of human rights? And, they come and teach our army how to deal with civilians. They teach our police how to handle citizens. That's what we need, because our people don't, our service providers don't know how to treat ordinary people. Right from the passport office.
Everywhere. From the part of, but then with the president already has like, because there's now talks that are coming up on social media and people are talking about, they're bringing the Kukura Hundi issue into picture because of what happened in Harare.
Yes.
So now he keeps having all these things piling on him. Like
the point is, all these months he's been trying to build this clean image that I didn't act alone. I was being guided or has been given orders.
Yeah.
But now
in one day
during elections, when you are seeking mandate,
you then
shoot, or you give an order, or you accept an order to be taken, where people are trying to express their freedom, and you then shoot them.
Wow.
Who are you going to blame now? Because they are the one in charge.
And but now, then he's blaming the opposition party.
And now
always blame.
And now the rest of the country now can understand Kukura Hundi.
Because they never used to understand it.
During Kukura Hundi, they said it was dissidents
to court. I think they did understand it. They just always had excuses as to how it's justifiable.
Yes. They always justify.
Now they understand.
Yes. So when he's saying it's because you sent them to the streets, that's why we shot them, they now understand
this.
It's because you had dissidents among you, that's why we shot them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now the rest of the country now
it makes sense. Because when we are always telling them, no, guys, even if we had 20 dissidents, that would justify 20,000 people being killed.
It's not.
They're saying, what did you want Mugabe to do? What did you want them to do?
Get over it.
Exactly.
Now they understand. You can be innocent, you get shot, and they'll blame you. What were you doing?
So do you feel that why maybe Matarin and the rest of the country that's not in Mashallah and is just watching?
I think now we are moving together.
To some extent. Watching. You know, Matarin says Kukura Hundi has always been in a comatose state.
Yeah.
We're afraid to say much, to act much, because when we do, we're called tribalists.
Exactly.
So now we're waiting for them to start talking, and then we can say,
We're laughing, but it's actually not funny at all.
So we're now empathizing, because we understand.
Yes,
that's
empathize.
That's what we don't want them to say, to go to them and say, we told you so. Now, say,
mm-hmm.
we now want them to say, so guys, you understand what
yes.
we're talking about.
No, but you raise an important issue. I've not seen ones when the male people say, we told you so.
No,
there's been such a restraint.
It's because we understand.
So now we can empathize with them if they also understand the parents.
Yeah, I thought they would understand after 2008, the run of the killings. Mm-hmm. I thought they would understand after Ramazina.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that maybe it will take more
for people to
understand. Maybe 2008 was not really in your face kind of thing. But this time, yesterday was like, in your face, kind of thing. We don't care. We are going to shoot you.
Yeah.
Mm. So. So
in front of international media, everyone.
Because what those soldiers did in front of cameras, shooting, killing people, that was not even a third of what was happening in Bukavu.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So why we are not, or people are not going online and saying we told you so?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they are saying, you know what? That is so painful when you were telling me that you cried.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even your family.
No, it wasn't.
So imagine if it's your family.
But imagine if you are remembering that you had a grandfather who was buried and their head left out for 5 days to be fed on by ants.
Mm.
No death is easy.
Mm.
But imagine being bent to death. Imagine your tummy being open. Imagine being told to give umntana as a
umudle. Oof.
These are the same lot of people doing that, so we just hope it doesn't get to that. We pray that, you know, our leaders will take responsibility and will sit down. I don't care. For me, I don't care who leads. Nangagwa can lead for all I care.
But as long as,
the people at heart, they bring peace, they bring the economy back, and they put a system that works for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
May he live to his words.
Mm-hmm.
If he says the voice of the people is the voice of God, and the people have spoken.
Is it really the voice of God?
If the election process had been very clean,
mm-hmm.
I would have congratulated Mnangagwa for winning. Because what needs to happen is just to have an election process we can all believe in.
Mm-hmm.
But we lost quite well. It was a fair.
Yeah. But there's no such.
There's no such, yeah.
What would you say? What's the way forward for Zimbabwe as we close up?
Okay. At the moment, I don't know. Because at the moment, I've given up.
Those are your last word?
Yeah. At the moment, I've given up.
Wow.
I have not given up. I think our leaders need to take responsibility, come to the table. They took a peace pledge from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
ED and Chamisa didn't show up, but I need they now need to take a stand
mm-hmm.
and show us their commitment
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, whatever the outcome, we're willing to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't have innocent people's lives lost just because they want to.
Wow.
I don't think it's worth it.
It's not worth it. Thank you so much. Interesting. That's the Kimosi vibe here on Cliff Center. Please let us know what you think about the show and this current situation in Zimbabwe and what's happening in Zimbabwe. What do you think about it? Let us know on social media platforms. The Twitter handle for Cliff Central is at cliffcentral.com and my Twitter handle is at GuillaumeTWE. What's your Twitter handle?
At Twitter.gazi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, Mcini.
At Mcini. Your name Mcini is spelled M-G-C-I-N-I.
Twitter.gazi is spelled T-H-W-I-T-H-A-K-A-Z-I.
All right, so that's at Twitter.gazi and at Mcininyo. Thank you so much for joining me on Cliff Central. And Zimbabweans, please keep safe and make sure that you fight for your country in the good way. Don't die, please. Until next time, enjoy the rest of your week and God bless.
This is CliffCentral.com.